Greetings, dear friends. Welcome. Welcome again to St. Patrick's Parish Podcast. And my reflection for the fifth Sunday of Easter, it's year B in the cycle. The readings are Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verses 26 to 31. Psalm 21, verses 26 to 28 and 30 to 32. The first letter of St. John, chapter 3. Verses 18 to 24. And finally, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, listen Israel. A little Jewish boy or girl would have learnt those words by heart from childhood. Bishop Alan McGookian, our new bishop, was installed officially just 2 weeks ago, and he certainly hit the ground running. This Wednesday he gathered the priests of the diocese together, and there was a good turnout, maybe curiosity on the part of some, as we met in South Antrim for a few hours together to share some food and some crack, and to listen. Shema. Bishop Alan is one of our own. He comes from Clock Mills in the north of the diocese. He went to local schools and then to Queen's, and then he entered the Jesuits like his two older brothers. He is the youngest of six. Now, what did we talk about last Wednesday? There was nothing about diocesan plans. He didn't mention closing churches or where priests were going to be changed to, or selling off diocesan property. Instead, he told us about the synod in Rome last October. And Bishop Alan was one of the two Irish bishops who were representatives, along with various lay people, who made up the more than 400 participants from all over the world. It had been a tiring month, he said, but worthwhile. And he has to repeat it again next October, when the synod goes into phase two. And sometime in 2025, Pope Francis will issue a document, an encyclical, which will bear the fruits of all the talking and prayer. What Bishop Alan did on Wednesday was to introduce us to the method of the synod, a method he would have used often as a Jesuit. The 100 priests or so sat round in tables in groups of 8 or 9. He read a piece of scripture. It was Luke's story of the two disciples meeting the Lord on the road to Emmaus. There was silence. We reflected on it and then we shared. And here was the key thing. We have to listen to each other without comment, no butting in. And then there was more silence and we had to share on what we had heard in the sharing of the others. How had their words touched our spirits? Now, all this is very much part of the discernment process of St. Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuits, to which Bishop Alan and Pope Francis belong. We had a session like this in the early part of the afternoon, and then another one after the coffee break. No big decisions, as I said, no discussion about plans for the future. Instead, a sense of listening to each other in prayer and responding in the Spirit. The bishop had prefaced his remarks before he began the reading by saying that one of the hallmarks of modern society, indeed of the church, is this brokenness that is in so many people. We are all fractured, divided, full of opinions which many are quick to voice on social media and elsewhere. He says we have to learn, especially in the church, to listen again in the Spirit. What is the Spirit saying to the churches? Now, all of that might seem a long introduction, but it brings me to look afresh at the Gospel today. John 15. The vine and the branches. Isn't it marvellous that St. John took possibly 60 years of praying his gospel into life, meditating on the words and spirit of Jesus, giving them breath with the words on a page, listening. Scholars tell us that John's gospel did not appear, there was no record of it before the year 90, 60 years after Jesus had walked this earth. John listened to the Spirit in his heart. And John was the one who seemed closest to the Lord. Many of the pictures show him resting his head on the Lord's shoulder, his breast, as it were, at the Last Supper. While Peter was the headstrong one, called to be the leader, the head of the church, he jumped into the water at the sight of Jesus. He walked in water and he sank too. John is the mystic, the man of prayer, the one who realizes that nothing is done unless it is soaked in prayer and blessed by God. So while the other gospel writers, Matthew, Mark and Luke, use the word remain, meno, 12 times in total, John will use it 40 times. It's a key word in his gospel. And one of the first questions in chapter 1 of his gospel is a would-be disciple asking, Rabbi, where do you live? Where do you remain? Where do you stay? To which Jesus replies, come and see. And that's an invitation to you and me too. 10 times he uses this simple verb of staying, remaining in our passage today. There are promises if we stay, and there's also a threat or a warning if we don't. If we stay with the Lord, we will bear much fruit. We will truly be his disciples. Our prayers will be answered. We will grow in the Lord. But if we don't stay, if we are poor branches to the vine, if the sap of the Lord doesn't reach us, then Jesus says we won't bear fruit and we will be cut off. How do you stay? How do you remain? How do you grow as a branch to the vine that is Jesus? Now, you can guess the answer. You've heard this many, many times before. Nothing new. But sometimes we forget the solution. We get in our world so distracted. Other things seem to take up importance. A man came to Francis de Sales, great saint of the 16th century, to ask about prayer. Francis now was a great saint of the Counter-Reformation in France and Switzerland. What do I do? I'm an ordinary man, Francis. What do I need to do? How much time do I need to spend in prayer? Francis told him, the ordinary man should pray, and woman, of course, too, should pray, try to pray, half an hour a day, except when he's busy. And then he should pray for an hour. How different from ourselves. What suffers with us, dear friends, if we're busy, is prayer. And then if we do it, we fit it in. Just. I personally have to keep learning and relearning this lesson. My prayer can get sloppy, rushed, fitted in, done, but not well. Now this Lent I did something I'd never done before. I'm not suggesting that you, dear listener, have to repeat it, but I turned off the television. Yes, I have to admit, I had withdrawal symptoms at the start. But after a while, I didn't miss it. And I noticed that by the end of Lent, I was praying better. So I challenge you, dear friends, to make time for the Lord, to remain with him, to stay with him. Start slow if you need to. I'm not asking for an hour, half an hour. Give 10 minutes a day. Be faithful to it. And maybe by the end of the week, you'll have noticed that it will have grown maybe to 12 or 15 minutes. Take a piece of scripture, read it slowly, listen to it, listen to him. Then read it again and listen to what the Lord is saying to you. This is an ancient method of prayer, which we call Lectio Divina, or divine reading. Let me leave you with one lovely image, which is a very simple way of prayer, but not an easy one. St. Teresa of Avila, the great 16th century Spanish mystic, had a wonderful, simple method of prayer. I commend it to you. Imagine you're sitting in a chair. The Lord is sitting opposite you. You can close your eyes if you wish. And imagine he's looking at you lovingly and humbly. Just let him do that. No words. Just listen. Shema Israel.